Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Armin Benevolent Fund. Soldiers of the Queen, written and composed by Leslie Stewart and played by the Band of the Coldstream Guards under the direction of the late, great Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Sharp. And a very happy new year to all, as we welcome you to the January edition of General Talk, whose theme is about joining the army. The Army Benevolent Fund's army, as in army of fundraisers. Why should I join that, I hear you ask? Well, one, because like me, you've probably still got too much Christmas pudding around your waist, and two, because the work carried out by the Army Benevolent Fund, caring for our soldiers, veterans and their families in times of need, is not supported by the government nor military subsidy, but funds the charity raises itself from a wide variety of events throughout the year. And no wonder, because last year alone, the Army Benevolent Fund supported over 75,000 members of the Army family in 51 countries, including 86 charities and organisations that provide specialist care and vital services to the military community. Go online to armybenevolentfund.org and you will see on the events page that there is literally something for everyone. From charity boxing galas to racing across the Highlands, golf days, quiz nights, you can even trek across Crete. Or, alternatively, you can organise your own event, like my guest for this edition, Warrant Officer Class 1 Dan Cope of the Welsh Guards, better known as the Academy Sergeant Major, or Top Dog at the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst, who has agreed to run a marathon a month for a year to raise £15,000 for the charity. Leading from the front, as you would expect, the Academy Sergeant Major started with the Cardiff and Manchester Half Marathons last October. Now, in his final term with the Academy, before being commissioned, he joined me to talk about his marathon initiative, better known as Dan's Running Challenge, and what it takes to become one of the Army's senior warrant officers. I hope you enjoy the programme.
Academy Sergeant Major, you have started your year of fundraising a bit early. And can you tell us what your plans are and what you plan to raise and how we're going to do this?
So I've always had close links with the Army Benevolent Fund. I've done a number of events. And the reason why the Army Benevolent Fund is because I've seen firsthand how they've helped close friends of mine, whether it be serving soldiers or veterans or even their families in their time of need. So I was keen to give back, and I'm also very keen to my fitness, especially my running, and I wanted to be challenged. And in the past, I had done single events like marathons and stuff like that for the Army and everything. But I thought, this year, why don't we do something different? So in October, I decided that I would do a 12-month challenge where each month I would either do one or a number of events that month, for anything from a half marathon up to ultra marathons, in order to raise money for the Army Benevolent. So I started on the 6th of October. I did the Cardiff Half Marathon, and then I'll go all the way through the year, and next October I'll finish on the Cardiff Half Marathon. Again, Cardiff being my hometown, it was very special for me to start there, being surrounded by my family, and then to finish there as well. In November, I did what's known as the David Goggins 48-hour challenge, where you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. Now, I did that in the grounds of Sandhurst, supported by the permanent staff and the officer cadets, which was pretty special. Very tough task. It doesn't sound long, 4 miles every 4 hours, but once you get 36 hours in with a lack of sleep, it does become tough. But again, the support that I have in the permanent staff and the officer cadets run with me, especially in the dark hours, was very important.
How did they keep you going? Was that lots of cups of coffee or just a whip?
Just being there, just taking your mind off it, just like having banter around, running around. And like I said, I ran around the grounds in the academy, and it was great. Biggest challenge will be in February when I'm doing the Brecon to Cardiff ultra marathon, which is about 44 miles. My wife thinks I'm pretty crazy, but again, being in Wales is great for me. But again, it's all about the charity. The events are good because it gives me a reason, it gives me a focus, it gives me a reason to train day in, day out. But it's all about raising money for the charity. And I know in this day and age, with a lot of people struggling financially, I know it's tough to ask people to give, but the support I've received so far has been amazing.
I noticed that a lot of these events are in Wales. And, okay,
And it's great you're doing all this running, because that's the PT instructor that you always wanted to be coming out in you. But doing it in Wales, you're going to get very wet. I mean, the Brecon to Cardiff Ultra, I mean, that's just asking for a wet proof from the very start, from the get-go, isn't it?
Well, I've been in the army 25 plus years now. I'm used to being wet. But no, it's, if I'm honest, and again, this is very strange, I prefer the winter to the summer. I'm very strange that way. I think it's easier when you're cold to get warm than it is when you're warm to get cold. And a few years ago, I did a 250-kilometer run in Jordan. And again, the heat was really tough. It's probably the toughest conditions I've ever run in. So yeah, I am going to get wet. But I think when I'm, like I said, the support I get from my family and friends, I get people to come and run with me, which is amazing. I'm always looking for people who want to run with me. But no, it's being in Wales is very important to me. I love where I'm from. I love being Welsh. But again, I'll go back to it. It's all about the charity.
My son Major Carney was press ganged into doing the marathon de Saab last year with Rob Brinder. Did he ring you up to give you some tips and advice?
So we actually met. We were actually at a meeting in Sanders probably 2 days before he was about to deploy. I take my hat off. I know he spent a lot of time training early mornings down where he lives, because it's not just those kind of events. It's never a case of just turning up and doing them. It really sometimes can be 6-8 months of preparation. But again, I take my hat off to him. And he did the team, not just him, the whole team did an amazing job.
But I think we take our hat off to you, because after the Brecon to Cardiff Ultra, you've got in March the Granite Way, 20 miles, and then straight into the London Marathon. You have a very busy job doing what you do. As I recall, being at Sandhurst, once a term started, it was like being on a ship and you couldn't get off it until the end of the term. You've got your own job to do, and you've got all this running to do at the same time. How do you keep the two going?
I think it's just about routine. I love routine in my life. I think it's something the army embeds in you. So I get up early in the morning, whether go to the gym or run. I think that's vitally important. Also for my mental health, my well-being, I think it's vitally important. And I think everyone who does it, they understand it. My wife, I just got into running for years. I've been trying to get into running, and she now understands why I do it, the benefits of it. So yeah, it's just about routine. It can consume you, but like I said, there's a lot of people out there, a lot worse off than me. I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy being out there running. For people who run, they'll understand. You get into your own sort of thoughts, and a lot of the stuff that I do, the ideas I come up with, or the decisions I make, are made whilst I'm running, because it gives you time to reflect, gives you time to think about it. So it's brilliant.
How many pairs of trainers do you anticipate getting through this year?
Well, let's not talk about trainers, because again, that's a sore subject for my wife, because running trainers these days don't come cheap.
Well, for all these great 15 events you're doing, what are your targets for raising funds?
So I think I would like to raise £15,000. But the way I'm going to do it, I think that seems quite a big number to a lot of people. But the way I'm going to do it is in £5,000 increments. So we're on our way to the first £5,000 now. How I'm going to do that? I'm trying to push a lot via social media, but then also I'm doing a lot of work now with ABF in the background. They're going to, and also I've got close links with Cardiff City Football Club. I've been going since I was maybe 7 or 8. It's been a tough journey being a Cardiff City football fan. People who relate to that, and it's great that both my sons support them as well. But we season ticket holders, we go every week. I wouldn't say we're enjoying it at the moment because it's been a tough season, but there's hope, and we keep going back because obviously we live with that. But no, about 6 or 7 years ago, I started getting close links with the club. The club have been absolutely brilliant to Welsh Guards. Like every time, especially the two Afghanistan tours we did, when we came home from there, they did a homecoming on the pitch where they brought the soldiers to the stadium, hospitality, which was absolutely amazing. Personally, over the last 5 or 6 years, I've organised the remembrance events for Cardiff City Football Club. Twofold, really, because remembrance, it means so much to me as every veteran and serving soldier will understand why. plus my love for Cardiff City Football Club. So every year, I organise a marching party, the Lane of the Reefs, the last post to be played, etc. I've done it for probably 4 of the 6 personally in Lane of the Reef. And when I'm stood there in the centre circle, the poignancy of remembrance plus my love for the football club, it's always a special moment. That's why I'm so lucky to have that link with the club. And like I said, the way that the club treat the armed forces, they actually got a memorial garden outside the ground. I am going to get in contact with them to help me with my challenge.
When you're doing these great challenges, I mean, building up from the Brecon to Cardiff Ultra to London Marathon, that's no mean feat in its own right. What goes through your mind as you're tabbing away, running along in the early morning hours and then pouring rain? What's going through your mind then?
It's a time to reflect on the number of things. A lot of stuff I think about at work. I also run the junior football club in Cardiff. It gives me time to reflect on that kind of stuff, about what we need to do, organising fixtures, stuff like that. And then a lot of time I'll listen to podcasts and stuff. I'm quite a competitive person. I think once that gun goes or once the start goes, then I'm in my own little world. I want to do the best I can do based on what I think I can do. Sometimes I won't really push it because I'm going for a certain time. And then sometimes because I may be doing 2 events back-to-back, days back-to-back, I know that I can't push as much as I want to. And it's just about getting around and finishing as best I possibly can. You have to train to a specific time or training becomes pointless. You need a plan. Like I said, for me, raising as much money as possible, bringing awareness to the charity is the most important thing. If in the process, then I can, on a personal level, I can get some PBs, and that's amazing, but for me, it's not the be-all and end-all. Like I said, everyone's journey is totally different. Whether it's 5K, whether it's an ultra marathon, it doesn't it? Everyone's got their goal.
But from the goals of the long-distance runner, our conversation turned to Academy Sergeant Major's long record of service. A career forged by the unforgettable events of the 9th of September, 2001.
We're just getting reports in now that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
2 planes have crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
There have been a series of terrorist attacks in the United States.
Pictures just in showed the building.
Much of your career has been dominated by both operations and training. And indeed, not long after you joined the 1st Battalion Welsh Guards, 9/11 took place. Can you talk me through how your career developed as a result of 9/11 and what effect that had on your career?
So I always remember where I was. I was 18 years of age, and then we were deployed. Well, we were on exercise in Canada. I was in the Prince of Wales's company. I remember the news like filtering through on the BBC World Service. And I remember that evening, my first commanding officer, who was a guy called Lieutenant Colonel Ford, got the whole battalion together, and him explaining the events of that day and obviously the tragic events, what happened in America. And his words, I mean, I still remember now, he said, the world you know it has changed as of now, and your careers will never be the same. And at the time, being 18 years of age, you don't really contemplate what he meant.
The Welsh Guards were a close-knit family regiment. On the 1st July 2009, Lieutenant Colonel Rupert Thornelow, commanding the 1st Battalion on operations in Afghanistan, was killed by the Taliban when an improvised explosive device went off under his vehicle. The Academy Sergeant Major recalls his reaction at the time.
It's probably something you'd never expect to hear. There's probably certain people within the battalion, when you go on operations and stuff like that, then you don't expect for them to be injured or to be hurt. And the command officer is definitely one. And I know it was a massive body blow to everyone in the battalion just because of the person he was. He was a true leader. He embodied everything there was to be a good leader. He was personable. He led by example. And everyone looked up to him. So I know how much that hurt the Welsh Guards. It was truly a tough loss for the battalion.
Having spent most of your career either in Guards training establishments at Catterick or again as a colour sergeant instructor at Sandhurst, you spent otherwise all your time with the 1st Battalion Welsh Guards. The accolade of that was that you were appointed Regimental Sergeant Major of the 1st Battalion in Commonwealth Barracks in May 2021. How did that feel to be given that wonderful appointment?
But to get the Regimental Sergeant Major will always be my Everest, just because of my love for the Welsh Guards. But those 24 months was a huge success, I feel, for the Welsh Guards being deployed on operations. And it wasn't nothing to do with me or the command officer. But I always say this, it's about the guardsmen, it's about the SARS mess members, it's about the officers. They really did make my time as Virgin Orsa Major enjoyable.
You went from keeping your watchful eye over guardsmen to keeping your watchful eye over officer cadets. What's the difference?
There's a big difference, a very big difference, but in many ways it's quite the same. I think my biggest worry as the Academy Sergeant Major is the coach, mentor, support, not just the cadets, but the permanent staff. The permanent staff, I think that's a big thing that people sometimes forget about. But in terms of the officer cadets themselves, they're amazing. They're so diverse in many ways. Only on Monday, so 2 days ago, we had 194 new cadets turn up from so many different backgrounds, male, female, international cadets, and they bring so much to Sandhurst. But you need to realise that they do come from a lot of different backgrounds, and they can be challenging in many ways. But I only look at our international cadets. It's amazing what they do. Some of them come here for 12 months to do the commissioning course. They're learning a course maybe in their second, third, even fourth language. A lot of them away from home, don't go home for 12 months. And they deliver. They absolutely deliver. And like it's very funny because on Monday was the first time they went up those steps. And the next time they will go up those steps or when they commission. It's a big thing here at Sandhurst. Officer cadets never go up those steps in all college unless they're obviously day one or they're commissioned.
Sandhurst is also the centre of Warrant Officer, the great W01 and Regimental Sergeant Major's conference. Has the Command Sergeant Major system, has that now settled in and you've now got your two separate defined roles from being Regimental Sergeant Major to Command Sergeant Major?
I think the Command Sergeant Major network is brilliant. There was a lot of negativity initially when it was first employed within the British Army, but I work closely with Command Sergeant Majors day in and day out, whether it be the Army Sergeant Major, Divisional Sergeant Majors, Corps Sergeant Majors, and they're absolutely brilliant. What they do for the Army and for their organisations, it is great. A lot of work they do goes unseen, but they are the eyes and ears for a lot of the senior officers. And a lot of the improvements we've seen in the British Army over the last 3 to 4 years has been through those Command Sergeant Majors getting out there on the ground and speaking to people and then being in the room. So when decisions are being made, they have a voice. And I think that's quite important. Sometimes it's a case of we just have to get on there, we have to do the mission. But a lot of the time that it is up for discussion. And I think that's why the Sergeant Majors and the Command Sergeant Major network is so important. I think bringing the convention into Sandhurst is great. It happens once a year. Last year, 250 W1s. The people that spoke to us, and they do a lot of the issues, the frustrations they have at unit level, they bring to the convention and they try to resolve it then and then, because you do get a lot of senior officers standing up talking, and they are held to account by the SAR Major network. And like I would always encourage, if you are a regimental SAR Major and you do go for a commission and you are offered a chance to be a Command SAR Major or be the Academy SAR Major, I would definitely take that opportunity.
But in May, you finish being the Academy Sergeant Major, Warrant Officer Class 1, and then you're going to get commissioned. It is a complete step change in your life and your military career too. What's your views on leaving the sergeant's mess and going up the steps into the officer's mess? How do you view your commissioning as it gets ever closer?
So, obviously, 2 years ago when I was Regimental Sergeant Major, I went for commission. Once I commissioned, I got given the huge honour of being the Academy Sergeant Major. But I think in Sandhurst, it has helped me because of obviously the close proximity. I work with officers day in and day out. And obviously, I see the officers' journey as an officer. But I'm actually excited. I'm actually excited about what the future holds, being in the officers' mess. Like I said, I still love coming to work day in and day out. The passion I've got for the Army hasn't changed. And I think I've got a lot to offer, but also a lot to learn. I'm not naive to think that when I go into the officer's mess and I go into that officer space, that it's not going to be a learning curve. Of course, it's going to be a learning curve. But it's one I'm really excited about and what the challenges lay ahead.
As a Academy Sergeant Major, you have under your care and your guidance, the cream of the senior commissioned officers of the British Army. What's your advice to them when you finish your place as a cavalry sergeant major?
Never stop improving. You're never the finished article. Everyone has bad days. Everyone makes mistakes. No one is perfect. But as long as you learn from those mistakes and you turn up every single day wanting to give your best, not just for yourself, but for the people you work for and the people the officer gets, for example, that you can go far wrong. And Sandhurst is such a great place for that, because every single person here, whether it's the sergeant's mess, the officer's mess, or the civil servant, they are the best of the best. They really are. And like I say to the officer cadets, the people you are being exposed to day in and day out are the best the British Army has got to offer.
Will you miss it?
100%. The poignant moment on the Sovereign's Parade that the Academy Sergeant Major on his last one gets to go up the steps. It is a sort of big milestone. Yeah, I'll definitely miss it.
We can follow progress of Dan's running challenge on Twitter, is that correct?
Yes, Brian. Twitter, X, whatever it's known these days. But yeah, at DanCode25 on there, you can find me. It'll be on there. It'll also be on my Instagram page and Facebook. And yeah, just like I said, Dan's running challenge. If you can support in any way, I'd truly appreciate it. It is going to be a tough challenge, but it's really worthwhile.
Of course, a lot of people will not only want to support you, they'll be wanting to donate to Dan's running challenge, because we're on the way to the first £5,000 or £15,000. How do we donate to this great cause?
So if you go onto my X page or Instagram or Facebook, you'll find it on there. But it is www.justgiving.com/page/DanCope. And you'll find my Just Giving page there.
We say the very best of luck to you, not only in your endeavours of Dan's Running Challenge over the next year and all the endless marathons, half marathons and ultra marathons. We say also congratulations on your commissioning in May and your new career path ahead as an officer.
Thank you very much, Harry.
And my thanks once again to Academy Sergeant Major Dan Cope for being my guest on this edition of General Talk. To remind, you can follow Sergeant Major Cope's marathon progress throughout the year on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at DanCope25. And more importantly, help him raise £15,000 for Dan's Running Challenge in aid of the Army Development Fund by making a donation at justgiving.com/page/DanCope-ABF. That's DanCope-ABF. Next month, we are joined by military charity Fighting With Pride to discuss 25 years since the ban was lifted on LGBT personnel serving in the armed forces. Until then, from me, Harry Bucknell, thank you for listening and farewell. Rising of the Lark, the regimental march of the Welsh Guards, was played by the Band of the Welsh Guards under the musical direction of Major Stuart Watts. Series editors were Jane Redman and Natasha Theobald. Studio editing was by Michael Cilianu. This has been a Gamekeeper production for the Army Benevolent Fund.